We're going to be continuing off where we left off, just as a brief review. I'm not going to go through all the passages listed, but just a quick thing. We were talking last week when we were discussing elders, we were talking about his internal qualities, his character, that should be shown as in an elder. We talked about the fact that he has to be a just man. In other words, someone who is righteous, somebody who walks up rightly with God. We're not talking about someone who never sins, because that's not possible in anyone, but someone who also is somebody who gives fair treatment to others. He's just in how he deals with other people. Someone, again, who's holy. Someone who's set apart himself for God. Again, we're not talking about someone who's absolutely holy, because only God is absolutely holy. Someone who's a lover of good. And there we talked about someone who loves good, who promotes virtue, someone who basically loves what is good and right before other people. He upholds it. He embraces it. He sets a proper example. He encourages other people to do such as well. We also talked about the fact he's not to be pugnacious or violent. An elder cannot be someone who cannot control his temper. He has to be someone who does not settle arguments with strength, but rather by persuasion. Which then leads us to where we left off. In 1 Timothy 3, and in verse 3, it also mentions that an elder should be patient or gentle, depending on your translation. Actually, the word that's there is one that translators have a difficult time dealing with. There's no real corresponding English word to this particular one that closely matches what is being described in the Greek. It describes a person who is considerate of others, someone who's peaceable, someone who is open to reason, someone who's full of mercy. One writer describes it as being gentle toleration for others, in spite of having justification for being intolerant. In other words, he's able to deal with annoying people. Okay, here's a man who's able to endure ill treatment. He's forbearing. He's long-suffering. After all, if you think about, sometimes an elder has to deal with situations that will try a man's patience. And you need someone who has some skill in that area. Leading people out of sin often takes time. It often requires gently pulling the sinner out of the mire that they're so willingly entered into. Not everyone responds with a strong arm tactic. There's no place for a snap decision. He has to be able to humanely and gently look at the facts of a situation before he comes to a just decision. Packed a lot of there in just the word peaceable, didn't we? That's why I said it. There's no real good English word to describe it that's in there. And the next word also in 1 Timothy 3, verse 3, says an elder is not quarrelsome. The word refers to a person who has great strength, but he has no need to fight. Now, this is somebody who's, if you would think about it in a physical term, somebody's big and powerful. But, you know, when somebody tries to pick a fight with him, he says, no, I'm not doing it. An elder is somebody who's looked up into congregation. He has the respect. He is, in a sense, has some authority. The word here by not quarrelsome is that he's not one who says, okay, I'm going to use my authority as a club. An elder is a peacemaker. He doesn't delight in stirring up controversy. He's trying to eliminate the controversies. He shouldn't be a man who uses a club when a word of rebuke would suffice. He'll stand up and he'll defend the truth. Not just to win, he's determined to win his opponent over to the truth. Because after all, that's what an elder's there for, is to watch for people's souls and get as many people as possible to heaven. So often we lose sight of that. And we start thinking about my winning. rather than getting as many people to heaven as possible. Now, along with that, Titus uses a slightly different word and says that he's not quick-tempered. That means an elder is not to be hot-tempered. He's often going to be in conflict with those who oppose the truth. That's a nature of the job. When you have people that are opposed to the truth, you're going to be in conflict with them. But at the same time, you don't lose your temper. You don't easily become angry. After all, in order to reason with people, you have to retain control of your mental faculties. And most of us don't think very well when we get mad. Take a look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and in verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. More problems are caused when a person gets angry and then stops thinking about what they're doing. And again, we expect for someone who's leading the flock to be able to rein in his anger. Doesn't mean that there's not sometimes just cause for a response of anger. Jesus shows it in the temple. But we're talking about somebody who's not hot-tempered, not easily flying off the handle. Another characteristic of an elder is that he's not self-willed. Actually, from the Greek word, it literally means I please myself, is what the Greek actually says. An elder's duties are in service to God. They're in service to his fellow brethren. He's not in the business of serving his own desires. A self-willed man attempts to lord his own preferences over other people. And someone who is actually leading the congregation doesn't use himself as a measuring stick. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We've read this before, but 1 Peter 5 verse 3 again. 1 Peter 5 verse 3 says, "Nor yet as lording it over those who allot it to your charge, but proving yourselves examples to the flock." We've talked about this extensively. Not lording it over, not putting his desires first. Not forcing it, but rather persuading people. See, an elder is a steward given charge of a portion of God's flock. If you think about it, the flock is across the entire world. An elder is in charge of a small portion of what belongs to the Lord. It's his duty to care for those charges. One day he's going to give an account of his work to the Lord. Not just of his own life, but the things that he's done in serving the Lord. And bringing people to heaven. And making sure the flock stays faithful. So he cannot be self-willed. He's here to do the will of God. Those are all characteristics. Now, there are also some characteristics that deal with his relationship with other people. Not his personal characteristics, but how he deals with other people. One is that he's to be hospitable. Again, if you think about it, all Christians are to be hospitable. Titus chapter 1, verse 8, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, both mention it. The word chinos basically means fond of guests, have a natural desire to serve the needs of others. No, this, like I said, something that all Christians ought to have. We're all told that we are to be hospitable. In fact, look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. The command is be hospitable to one another without complaint. We talked about this verse this morning. That's something that's given as charge to all Christians. Of course, elders are to be an example to the flock. They should have this quality in them. An elder must enjoy being with brethren. Otherwise, how can he do his duties? How can he set the proper example if he doesn't intermingle with those who he's working with? So he has to be hospitable in that for that to be done. Another quality is in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it says that he is to be able to hold fast the scriptures. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2 says he has to be able to teach. In other words, an elder needs to know his Bible and stands by it. You don't want somebody that's not doesn't have a good, solid understanding of what the scriptures say, leading the flock. After all, how can he keep the flock in place if he doesn't know what the will of the Lord is well? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, this is something all of us are to strive for. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 14, says, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it leads to further ungodliness. If anyone shows the characteristic of diligently studying God's word, it should be the elders. They should be able to answer people's questions about, well, where does the Bible say this? What do I do in this particular situation? How do I handle this problem? And be able to give you book, chapter, verse. Maybe they can't quote it directly off their mind. Not all of us can do that. But they know where they can find it. And be able to show it to you. Here's a person who is able to use God's word to encourage brethren and to refute false teaching. After all, they watch for the souls of the congregations. Again, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for it would be unprofitable for you. It doesn't mean that he necessarily has to be an eloquent teacher, but he has to be able to effectively communicate with other people. Your elder may not necessarily be the best Bible teacher. Now, some people are really gifted that way. Some people are not. But he should know his scriptures and be able to teach. He should be able to communicate the gospel to others. It's their duty to feed the flock. Now notice also, if we go back to Titus chapter 1, there's a phrase in there that's easy to pass over. Yeah, Titus chapter 1, verse 9. It says, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching. Or some of your translation says, as they have been taught. Your elders are not men who are innovative. Their duty is to preserve the truth. To keep the group faithful to what the Bible says. They're not here to make up rules. They follow what the rules of the Lord puts down, passing it on to the other people. Going on then, not only that, there's one other interesting qualification for an elder. And that is that he is to have a good testimony among non-members. Not just among those who are in the church, but also those outside the church. In other words, in his time before being a Christian, he should not have passed scandals that will come back to haunt him. Okay. He has a good reputation. Now, people do sins. They should be forgiven of them. But it should be something that he has a good reputation with people, not just in the church, but outside as well. Christians are to let their light shine. Again, this is something everyone should have. In Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 13. Matthew 5 verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, when you talk to people that they work with, when you talk to people that are in charge of them, say like a business, people that are acquainted in their neighborhood, people basically look up and say, yes, this is a good man. Even if they don't believe in Christ, they should have that impression of the elders. In other words, it's not just a Sunday only Christian. It's someone who lives that life all the time. They may disagree with him concerning religion, but even the outsiders should see him as honest and just and reliable. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Again, this is something that's said for all Christians. But of course, the elder should have that quality. Must have that quality. Take a look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, starting with verse 5. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. You got different people in the world. Different people need different ways of being addressed and dealt with. But all of us should develop the ability to be able to deal with people who are outside, to make use of the opportunities we have to spread the gospel. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11, and make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. In other words, an elder is not somebody who's sponging off other people to make ends meet. He's someone who shows the proper example of working hard and having a living so that he might show how it is to live as a Christian. You know, there's a great need for elders in this church. We need men to serve as elders to guide us, to be the example, to help solve problems. Yes, a lot of congregations get by without elders for a period of time, but it's always not the best. When big issues come up, trying to call Ben's business meeting to settle it doesn't really work all that time. Too many people involved, too much time goes by, problems get out of hand. So we need to encourage people, not only that for being an elder now, But we should be looking at also as for elders in the future. Now, one of the difficulties in this particular congregation that we have is that we're such a transient group. A lot of people here, they're here for a few years and move on. It makes it really difficult to find qualified men, but we should be striving for that. Even if you move to another area, they're going to need people who are qualified to help lead and help guide and be an example. Never make the mistake to look for a sinless man, because all of us sin. Don't make the mistake of looking for someone who's never, ever made a mistake in his past, because all of us have mistakes in our past. The question is whether it was dealt with, whether it was moved on beyond it. Look at what his life is. The past only shows you ability and maturity. Mistakes may be made, but were they corrected? That's the question you ought to ask. I remember talking to somebody once about a congregation where I was thinking about possibly moving to one time. How does this congregation stop? Oh, we had this other congregation had elected elders, and we didn't think they were qualified. Oh, what was the problem? Well, this one man, I eventually found out, this one man had a child when she was 4 years old. She was uncontrollable, and she made all sorts of disturbances in church. Okay, well, I assume she's not 40 anymore. No, she's 30. She a member of the church? Yes. Faithful member of the church. Raising kids. Okay, then why does this make this man disqualified to be an elder? And obviously, somehow he got over that problem. One of the reasons why I didn't go there. Like I said, I'm just using that as an illustration, but I want you to see what some people do. They never let go of the past. Actually, what the problem is, they never forgave, which is a sin in itself. But on the other hand, also don't compromise the standards just to have elders. I've seen that happen as well. Oh, we got to have elders. Well, he mostly makes, you know, the qualifications. Usually dealing with, you know, well, some of the kids are not real faithful, and well, some, you know, maybe he doesn't have enough kids or whatever. They'll twist and say, well, it's close enough. And the answer is no. If there are problems with somebody, encourage them to correct it, so that they might become elders, not that they're forever disqualified. But if it's possible to correct it, help them correct it. The qualities to look for in an elder are those that an elder needs in order to fulfill his duties as a leader in the church. That's why they're there. So we can't compromise on them. But at the same time, we ought to be encouraging all men to reach for those standards, because it's actually what all of us should be living. We all should be people that, maybe not yet, but one of these days I might end up being an elder. You have to live a life like that. Because it's basically what all of us should be. And I finally reached the end of my notes. I hope this was useful and interesting to you, that I know it went on for longer than I was planning. But we need to start thinking about it. Whether it happens now or it happens in the future, every congregation needs it. And this congregation is no exception. And I do hope and pray that it does happen here. That we continue to form ourselves in the mold of which the Lord laid out. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song? Go select.